Thomas Rosicki. Alex Song. Looking for Van Persie. Flag stays down and he scores! Robin Van Persie for Arsenal! For the 31st time this season! If Arsenal win this match, to add that to the victory over Tottenham last weekend, what a couple of weeks it would be. He's onside. Good decision. Fantastic finish.
Good night, everyone, and welcome to episode 14 of the FPL Vibes podcast brought to you by SoccerWarriors.net. So tonight, I have in the studio, as always, fellow co-host, 2 Cents. So Vibes, 2 Cents.
Everything cool. Good night.
Night. And we also have returning for the third time on the podcast, our veteran analyst, Firebrand. What Vibes, Fire?
Yes. Good night, people. It's good to be back on the Vibes.
Right, man, good having you here. And you know, so I mean, you've been paying attention to the leagues and anything. I know, you know, I mean, for those who know, just to recap, you're taking it off this year, you know, you're in strictly an advisory role.
Well, I've been monitoring what's going on. I must admit, for the past probably last month or so, I haven't really been following it that much. You know, for issues, you know, outside of football and stuff, but last week, you know, I've been, you know, monitoring you guys and noticing, you know, the movers and shakers, and things seem to be looking up on the final stretch for some. Yeah. I know you going through a little tough time there, a little rough.
Yeah, going through a little rough patch, man. I think This is the most pressure I've seen in the game, but I'm still battling, man.
Well, the pillars always come with something, man.
What about you, 2 Cents? How you looking there so far?
Just hanging in about the same position for the last couple of weeks, 20, 21, 14, 19, 20. So, I mean, just trying to survive. As I said, the end goal is always the top 10. Still have the wild card to go, I mean. Set up some moves planned for the upcoming weeks already. I already have them down on paper. What are trying to do? So just trying to be real serious with it right now and make that final push for the end of the season.
Cool, man. Well, as for me, you know, right now I'm down in the 40s here. I know you know what down here feels like, you know, but you know.
Who you talking to?
You talking to me, so process a deduction.
I seen your prints long here, Dred. I seen your fingerprints long here.
As I have said, 4 years in the Andre Samuel League, 4 years in the top 10 of the Andre Samuel League. I the lowest position I've seen in this league is 8. So I definitely know about 40.
I'm still trying to recover from the week here. You lead me off captain and Van Persie, you know.
I thought we break bread over carnival, we take a drink together, and you're still toting.
But it's all good, man. I'll be back. Well, you'll see something. So I mean, just looking at the Andre Samuel League now, the men in front up there still, well, the guy who's on top is a guy named Andre Rodriguez with Zoffa FC. 1,586 points, and then you have like Kevin Casemiro in third, Kyle Thomas second, Denzel Tobas. I know he was first for a while, he fought now. Then a couple other regulars from the forum moving, like JDB up to 8 right now. Seeing touches
breaking the top 10 right there.
Breaking the top 10, you know. So
JDB, I know you're listening. Have a bad week now, boy. Oh gosh, let's have a bad week. You're my 25-point week now, man.
So, yeah, man, everything is everything. Right,
you're still in striking distance, man.
Yeah, but, you know, some men are easing up. Also, Barca in England, that team really sending some threats to me lately. I ain't even going to call the manager name, but I'm coming. Andre Samuel, watch yourself. Stay behind.
I mean, I guess the big news for the week going is Chelsea sacking the manager, Villas-Boas. I'll let you first get your thoughts before I say something. And I know me being a Chelsea man, yeah.
Yeah.
What do you think about it, Fire?
In your club.
Well, Fire, I have nothing to say about Andre Villas Boas.
Now, well, you know, I had a, you know, pay attention to my partner here and what he's going through. I know it's a tough time for him, so I had to make sure that he's all right, you know. But yeah, no, I mean, we saw that coming, man. You know, things just weren't clicking. Just wasn't clicking with the man. And, you know, it's they needed to turn that page, I think, like weeks ago. Because, I mean, I don't know. He's a good coach, you know. He came into to Chelsea, you know, with a promising, you know, record and stuff. But you know, it's more than just being a good coach and having a good reputation. You know, you have to know the players you're playing with. And to me, it seemed as if the players weren't really, you know, satisfied with him as a coach. You know, you would hear, you know, stories, you know, with Lampard and stuff, and you know, about, you know, not being, you know, being kind of upset about, you know, not getting playing time and stuff. And you know, it's that whole, you know, scene, I think it just upset the vibe for the players. You know, I think Lampard could have been a bit, you know, quiet about his feelings and, you know, just give the man a fair chance to, you know, instill his philosophy on the team. But, you know, that just, it just didn't happen. You know, the players were vocal about how they were feeling, and I think that soured the whole vibe of the club.
Yeah, I mean, for me, I just think it's a combination of quite a few things. I mean, I blame Villas Boas to extent, but at the same time, I kind of feel for him because he came, you know, with a mandate, with a project to change the whole system and philosophy at Chelsea. But he didn't really get, like, the players to support that. Like, you know, everybody knows since leaving over for Ancelotti, the players were aging, he had slower players, and the whole thing was to try and make it more creative. A faster type of brand, a more open game, but it's kind of doing it with the same players. I mean, you get Mata, but Mata playing out on the left to accommodate Lampard and in the center. You get Mirelles, who is really not anybody who you could depend on to do a system. You get, you know, besides that, it's just like men like Lukaku and thing. And, you know, it takes some time to kind of phase it. And to me, I think his approach, he kind of take a real high and mighty approach and alienate a lot of the players. And these is players who been there and been doing it for years now. And I think, you know, he needed to kind of, you can't really take that approach and then still turn around and ask the players to get you 100%, you know. So from his side, even the management, I think that sometimes, like, you know, some of the decisions, like that situation with Anelka and Alex, and then before the Napoli game, apparently they had like a whole talk it out session, and then he turned around and benched men for a game like that, just kind of off of like to show, teach men a lesson, and it's not the right time, and we lose 3-1, you know. So I give him fault, but then at the same time, the players, you have men like Lampard and men like Luis and Torres and fellas who just really not performing up to acceptable level for the club, and kind of have the club hamstrung. But at the same time, you know, like Lampard banning playing time, which just not making sense. And I think, I mean, lastly, everything just tied back to Abramovich. You know, I think if manager after manager, he's the kind of central common factor, root a lot of the problems at Chelsea. So I don't know, we had to see where it go from here. Daryl, you have any thoughts about our situation?
I definitely agree with your final point there about Abramovich. I mean, number one, I didn't agree with letting Ancelotti go after, you know, the year before he won the double. Yes, he didn't do anything in his second year, but I mean, I think Ancelotti would have been the right man to take this team forward for a couple of years. We saw what he did with Milan. He built them up for a couple of years, you know. He keep the team going even, and Milan was also very similar to Chelsea in that they had an older team. So he had experience with that. I think he would have still been able to, you know, bring in one or two new talents, but keep the team at a certain level. Because we see this year, Villas Boas was charged to, like, rebuild the team. And I guess it was a bit too much to also keep them up there and build the team at the same time. But Abramovich is, I don't know, like, I mean, he have too much, he's the owner of the team, so I was about to say he have too much influence. I can't even say he have too much influence, but I don't know what it is, but like the Shevchenko buy, you know, the Torres buy, the bringing in Villas Boas, you know, like, you know, obviously he's a man, he feels strongly about the things that he believe in, and he follow his heart then, and sometimes that might not be the right decision, you know. I think he should put people in places to make those decisions, you know, and give them the authority to do that on their own autonomously. And I wanna see what's the next step, like this summer. I mean, I wanna see, because I think if you bring in somebody like Capello, somebody with a strong personality like that, I don't think that, you know, Capello will let him like make those decisions for him. Well, yeah, you had to buy this man, or you had to play this man, or anything like that. And at the same time, with the power of the play and stuff, I mean, with people like Lampard and stuff, you know, I only know what I read in the newspaper, so I don't want to say too much about that, but I don't think it have any place for that in football then, you know. Especially, yeah. I think they should just play. They should train, they should play, you know. When the coach asks you, voice your opinion and thing, but I don't think these guys should be really running a team and have that much influence and power. But that's just the reality of the game, because at the end of the day, the coach just get fired and not the player, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah. But I mean, looking at the situation now, though, who do you all think are, you know, good prospects to you know, as coach?
Well, for me, I you know, Mourinho is the one that stands out for me. I mean, I don't know if it would happen, but the man have a special place at Chelsea. It ended on a kind of sour note, but they're saying that his relationship still strong with Abramovich, and I think he's a man already know the club, know the setup, and you know, he could galvanize everybody. That to me would be the ideal choice. Whether it could happen or not, I don't know. Besides that, like Darrell said, Shevchenko. Sorry, not Shevchenko. Capello is definitely somebody. You just need like a strong personality.
So wait, what about Gus Hiddink?
He took the job at Anzhi. So
right,
he off the market. I would have liked to see him too, but
a coach that I love. I mean, I don't know if you want to get back into coaching now. I don't know what is his age, but a coach I loved. Well, I shouldn't say coach, because they call them managers. But anyway, the guy I loved for a long time is Marcello Lippi. I just think he will command that respect without. He don't seem like the kind of guy going to raise his voice anymore. You know, he's an older guy. He know what he's doing. He have a World Cup under his belt. You know, he have Italian titles under his belt. He'll be highly respected and like somebody I think would know what to do on his own. You know. That I think he'll be given the freedom to really run the team then, and I love Lippi. I love him as a tactician, because I was a big Juve fan in the day, and I love what he did with tactics. I love what he did with Italy as well, you know. He know how to use a team.
Yeah.
I mean, Lippi is one of the few coaches I saw, like, a guy might score a double this week and win the game for you, and next week he might be on the bench just because you find a better tactic this week then, you know.
Yeah.
A lot of people don't think like that, and that's just a different way of thinking. Because Lippi, I think, would be my one of my top two all-time favorite managers, along with Sir Alex.
Yeah.
So that's somebody I rate. You know, I rate Capello.
I think the other problem, we know, you know, we're talking about coaches and thing, but the other problem that Chelsea have, which will I think will have them in a real sticky situation, is this whole financial fair play thing, because they spend all this money to get Villas Boas, and then they spend all this money to get rid of him. Then they need to spend money on a new coach and then new players, and it really, you know, it's not really going to balance the books, and they need to show that, you know, I think within the next year or so that they're within a certain guideline. So it's not as simple as that. And then the other problem is that the club that attracting all the players with just based on money, it used to be Chelsea, but it's Manchester City now. Like, Chelsea didn't have that same pull. So...
And they definitely won't have it if they're not in the Champions League.
Yeah, well, but they're going to be in the Champions League, though, so. Anyway, fellas, so moving on to just getting back to the FPL, this week coming up here, well, you know, is a double game week for Liverpool. Who is the players you think, in looking at your side this week, bring in somebody, and who you'll be looking at to bring in for the double?
Yeah, the regular Suarez, Enrique, Adam, you know.
Even Coutinho.
Even Skrtel, I find every game I see him play, he gain on the other headers from them corners and thing, you know?
Yeah. And then he might also have some cheap options because I don't know if Glenn Johnson coming back, because I know Kelly is very cheap on the right back.
Yeah.
So no Everton man, boy.
Everton also have a double.
Yeah.
Well, actually, you need Everton, this guy Drenthe.
Yeah.
Pinar as well.
Yeah, although I think Pinar not he can only play one of the games.
Oh yeah, he can only play one game. That's true.
Yes.
And what about Baines?
I think Baines very expensive. That's a big gamble because those are not really easy games. So you really have to look for him to assist because I don't believe they're gonna get clean sheets.
Right.
One quick thing I want to talk about before we go into the new week. I know we need to speed up the time, but we didn't really talk about the Fulham performance with Pogrebniak and Dempsey.
Lord,
yeah,
it's poison, man.
Yeah, this guy Pogrebniak came in and he been on fire since he come in the league.
I don't know much about him, to be honest. I mean, I saw him. What team he used to play for in Russia? Was it Zenit?
I knew about him because I think it was the last World Cup. He was actually Russia's leading striker going into the World Cup. And I think he got injured, and that's how Pavel Luchenko.
Yeah, I knew the name, but yeah. I haven't seen much of him.
That's the only reason Pavel Luchenko got any sweat, and then he had ended up scoring some goals and Spurs take him. But
and also them see with another double, you know, I mean, he just keeping it up.
Yeah, actually this week I was that. Actually, we didn't even talk about what happened last week where most people cap Aguero and Mancini went and benched Aguero and Silva, which is what kind of killed me because I had a Silva cap and Aguero vice cap. But I think...
Some people put vice cap bar and that didn't work. He missed a penalty.
Yeah, exactly. So I think a lot of people... my thing, when I saw that happen, I was just like, I only hope Dempsey don't do anything because I know a lot of people would have that vice cap. And he went and scored the 2, and that was the end of that, you know? Fulham looking in form.
He also pulled off a clean sheet, too, so... Whoever had Fulham... Well, this Kelly, man, I saw a lot of Kelly in some squads there. He didn't play. So I guess... You guys have Kelly, right?
I do.
Yeah, I have Kelly.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't even think, a lot of people didn't even feel a full 11-man side this week. So, looking ahead to the week coming up, starting with you, Fire, who you like looking at the fixtures for captain this week?
For captain, he scored a goal in his last game. I'll go with Rooney against West Brom. I think he's a good pick. In this fixture, I think Manu on the rise, you know, they're gunning for that top spot. So I think he will perform in this game.
I'll go with Suarez for the obvious double game week. Hopefully that'll be a good captain after picking Aguero as my captain last week and he didn't even come on the field. My vice captain Silva didn't come on the field. So that's just a sign that Suarez is going to score 4 goals this week and make back for everything.
I will go with Ashley Young. I think since he came back from injury, he's been looking in form. I think he capped that with his 2-goal performance against Spurs. And with Valencia out and knocking to get back his place in the team, I just think Young will pick up where he left off. What about cheap pick this week, starting with you, Daryl?
I will go with Miachi. I saw him this week and he looked really nice and He impressed me a lot, and I think he has potential to make some points. And after he doubt my Mark Davies pick a couple of weeks ago and he scored, going on record and saying, me actually going to do something big this week.
You wanna put a bet on that, or what?
Me actually to the world.
What about you, Bayer?
Yeah, I go in with Holt. Holt at 5.2 against Wigan. I think he'll knock in a couple headers.
All right, I will go with Drenthe. simply the main reason is he have the double game week, and I think he gained a lot more recognition at Everton. You know, I think the coach this week say he trusts him a lot more now. So, you know, he at least good for 4 points.
And, do you believe that, or you think he just saying that to boost him up as Donovan gone and now he need him?
Well, regardless, it's just that he gained, you know, he getting sweat. So I just think he's a good look. I know he's going on score more than Miyachi.
He scored in the last game too, right? Drenthe.
Yeah, he scored in the last game. All right. What about clean sheet for the week, Fire?
Clean sheet will be Man U against West Brom. I'm going for Man U.
Let me hear your clean sheet.
My clean sheet this week, I'm going with Chelsea home to Stoke. Looking for let's see if the team reacts to changing manager.
I will go with Norwich.
Norwich home to Wigan, okay. And finally, what about goals? Which fixture jumping out for goals this week, Fire?
You know what, Darrell, 2 cents. I'll go the opposite and say Norwich, Wigan. Wigan, you know, they're struggling. I think Wigan will score first, and then, you know, Norwich, being as resilient as they are, will come back and will hold. Haddock buses his brace. So that match will be 2-2, I believe. That's my prediction.
I'll go with Bolton QPR, and just to repeat, Miyachi.
Alright, I actually looking at the Wolves Blackburn game. Well, I find all these little bottom of the tables game is where teams just come out and that is the games that had a win, so they come out fighting, and both these teams have leaky defenses. So looking for some big scores in that one. So yeah, I mean, guys, looking at the week coming up and going forward, going ahead, I know in the following week, just kind of pay attention. I know Chelsea got through the FA Cup fixture against Birmingham this afternoon, so they have to reschedule the Chelsea Man City and just need to check and see if it on for game week 29. Mm. Any other things to look out for as from where you all
I mean. The one thing I want to talk about is, for me, coming along to the end of the season here, I usually start to buy men who in the relegation battle. That's usually a strategy for me every year because things just start to heat up at the bottom of the table. Sometimes teams who safe in mid-table, they tend to take their feet off the pedal, you know?
Yeah.
And the guys on the bottom fighting hard, you know? Like last year, I think I win the league because of Nzogbia.
I was now going to chime in right here and say that that's so true. I could attest to that because the man come with Nzogbia and he captained him and spoiled my whole whole season there. I was first.
It went down to the wire and Nzogbia, I think, win me that title. And actually, thanks to your boy right here, Omar, convinced me. When I was back and forth, Omar is the man convinced me actually to pick Nzogbia as captain that week.
So. I ain't get a feel of the MacBook yet though.
Yeah, it was Omar pushed that decision over the top and make me choose. So that's something people should look for. I mean, I wouldn't captain a man at the bottom just yet, but definitely coming down week 34, 35, 36. Yeah. I mean, you'll see more and more of those guys in my team.
I think the main thing is just to make sure that coming down to the end, the men who in your team playing for something. So whether it's Manchester City and Man U, you need players someday because they're fighting for the title.
Yeah.
Whether it's Spurs and Arsenal and Chelsea because they're fighting for fourth. Whether it's the relegation teams because they're fighting to stay in the league. All them teams like Fulham and Sunderland and them who just like around 10th and think just really they. Like in the NBA, they say they're going fishing.
Yeah.
You know?
Well said.
So, yeah, I mean, I think that's pretty much it. Unless you all have any last thoughts you want to throw on.
Yeah, well, I cool. I just, like I say, I just watching.
So Fire, I mean, just before we close, can we say with some kind of certainty that we see you back in the league next year?
Yo, man, nothing is promised, man.
We will start a petition on SoccerWarriors.net. I just need to know how many signatures we need.
Nothing is promised, but all I could say, it looking promising. All right?
Just treat Mrs. Firebrand nice and...
Yeah, man.
That's the thing, you know. That's not like a definite thing. It's a process. So, get to see, you know, anything, by some time.
Anything I can help you with, and I will be there.
Well, thanks again for coming on the podcast. I mean, Fire, as always, thanks for your input.
It's always a pleasure to be here, man.
And, you know, all the best. Not too much good luck for you, Daryl, because I find you getting a little too far ahead there, but you'll see me just
now.
Wow.
you need to be nice to me before I tell people, like, your behavior during Carnival, but all right.
That'll be a special edition, another show.
Yeah, that's the next show. All right, fellas, well, signing off, you know, good night and all the best. Keep safe.
Yeah, man.
Yeah, good night.